Hello. Thank you for listening to part two of the four-part teaching series titled Praise, given by Pastor Grace Jiang of Foreigner Christian Church. What you are listening to is the English translation of the teaching originally given in Mandarin Chinese. May God richly bless you as you listen.
This is the testimony for Praise 2. Praise is such an amazing thing. In the past, when I didn't know about living a life of praise, I often lived in depression, anger, and inner hurts. Whenever I fell into depression, it would last for at least 1 or 2 weeks, taking full toll on me. The only way out was if somehow my mood took on an upward swing. In cases where my mood stayed emotionally low, there was no sense of strength to overcome the depression. But since I began living a life of praising God, there has been a dramatic decrease in the occurrences of falling into emotional lows. Furthermore, through living in praise, I began having the strength and courage to face my personal weaknesses, one of which is my tendency to hide from reality. Let me give you an example. This is a testimony that happened a while back. However, I can see that God is working out His perfect timing in holding me back from sharing it till now. On March 11th, it was raining heavily in the early morning. I usually get into the office pretty early, usually around by 8 a.m. That day, upon my arrival at work, the parking lot was quite empty as usual. In theory, it would not be a problem to find a space to park. However, as I drove into the parking lot, I noticed a beautiful green, brand new 1996 Mercedes-Benz Class D sedan. It was such an attractive car that I found myself very drawn to its appearance. I then proceeded to deliberately park right next to that car in hopes of being able to catch a closer glimpse of it. During this period of my life, I was also taking the opportunity of my commute to praise God while driving to work. In fact, I was having such a great time praising God and being filled with joy that when I turned into my space, I misjudged the turn and ended up bumping right into the Benz. It wasn't anything serious. My bumper merely scraped against the paint of the other car, leaving a mark on the paint job. However, in a moment of panic, I put my car in reverse and ended up scraping the car a second time. I felt horrible at what I had just done. Yet I said to God, "Oh Lord, I praise you. Your daughter here just had an accident." Although the rain was coming down very hard, I thought I ought to still leave a note on the windshield of the Benz. However, I didn't have any paper with me, so I got out of my car, looked at the damage, and headed towards the third floor of my office building, the floor where I work. Upon arriving at my work area, I called my husband immediately to notify him of what I had just done. He said that I was quite talented to have picked such an expensive car to bump into. Then he instructed me that I should quickly leave a note to the owner of the car. I told him that is why I'm at my work area, to find pen and paper. As I was writing the note, though, I was also thinking that the heavy raining could probably end up ruining the note to the point where it becomes unreadable. Perhaps this will end up to my benefit. But when I went back out to the parking lot, I began feeling a slight disappointment because I noticed that the rain had stopped. It was a difficult situation because I was both feeling terrible for what I had done to the Benz, as well as scared because I had no idea what the cost of paying for the damages would be. In my heart, I was not feeling good about the whole ordeal. Yet, with my mouth, I began to praise God. Not loudly, because I was in the office work area. I praised God by saying, "I praise you. I praise you. I praise you." My mouth was declaring praise, even though my heart was feeling otherwise. Suddenly, as I was walking back to my office and praising God, an amazing thing happened. I felt as if there was a sound of a big sigh being released somewhere close to me. It caught me by surprise, as if there was a presence around me, watching the entire situation of the accident, and finally giving out a sigh of relief to my willingness to praise God in the midst of the circumstances. I personally believe that it was the Holy Spirit who let out that sigh after having witnessed that I didn't run away from the problem I was in. You see, it would have been very easy not to leave a note, since it was so early in the morning with nobody around to witness the accident. For the rest of the day, I waited in suspense, wondering when the owner of the car would call. There were no calls that day. No calls the second day. No calls on the third day either. My heart hung in a state of anticipation. Finally, on the fourth day, the owner of the Benz called. He said to me, "You are quite brave to have left me a note. You left a mark in my car that really is unnoticeable. Unless I had looked really carefully, I would not have known there was a problem." Right then, I took the opportunity to testify of my faith in Jesus. I told him that I am actually not brave at all, and I had thought of staying silent about what I had done. However, I said to him that Jesus lives in me, and I know he wanted me to be brave to acknowledge what I had done. The owner of the Benz responded by saying that he too is a Christian. Then he said, "All right, since you have been brave and honest, I will go and find an honest estimate of repair for the damages." As my husband and I were waiting for that to be done, we were guessing amongst ourselves that the repair work would cost between $1,000 to $2,000, since it was a Benz. But when I received the estimate, it was less than $500. The owner of the Benz told me that this was the best estimate he was able to find. So the very next day, I went into his office, coincidentally right next to mine, and I handed him a check for the estimated repair amount. A week afterwards, this entire event has already been 1 month in the development. The owner of the Benz came to my office and asked if I could step outside with him for a moment. After we had gone outside, he handed my check back to me. He said that the dealer told him the scratch on his car could be repaired by simply using touch-up paint. I couldn't believe it. I said, "Oh, really? Thank you very much," and took the check back. What I learned from this experience is that praising God in all circumstances is an amazing thing to practice in life. It helped me to face the things that I had been afraid to face. It brought me to accept the responsibilities that I needed to take. Praise the Lord. The following is Pastor Grace's teachings for Praise 2. We have been talking about the topic of praise in our Thursday meetings. Just now, there was the opportunity to give testimonies with regards to this topic. I also believe that there are many more that have testimonies to give. But in the interest of time, please save it for our next meeting. Let's look at Psalms 149, verses 1 to 4. Praise the Lord! Sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the godly ones. Let Israel be glad in his Maker. Let the sons of Zion rejoice in their King. Let them praise his name with dancing. Let them sing praises to him with timbrel and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the afflicted ones with salvation. It says here in verse 1, to praise the Lord. More so, to praise him in the congregation of his godly ones. It shows here that praising God is a God-pleasing activity to do during a service. That praises to him should be given with the congregation of his godly ones. So we want to examine biblically what God's word teaches in regarding to praising him during a gathering of believers. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 5:11 to 14. When the priests came forth from the holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without regard to divisions, and all the Levitical singers, Asaph, Heman, Judathan, and their sons and kinsmen, clothed in fine linen, with cymbals, harps, and lyres, standing east of the altar, and with them 120 priests blowing trumpets in unison, when the trumpeters and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice to praise and to glorify the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice, accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and when they praised the Lord, saying, "He indeed is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting," then the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Here it says that the trumpeters and the singers in unison were giving praise to glorify the Lord. It also says that there were trumpets and cymbals and all sorts of musical instruments used while giving praises to the Lord. And as they praised God in this manner, The house of the Lord was filled with a cloud of the glory of God to the point where the priests could not stand to minister any more, because the glory of the Lord so filled the house of God. One time I heard a spiritual leader by the name of Elder Wu explain that one voice in unison means that those on stage and those in the congregation blend together as one unifying voice. As the people on the stage, as well as the people in the congregation, begin to praise God together, begin to lift up their voice together in one voice and heart to give praises to Him, God's glory then fills His temple. So we see here that giving praises to God is not a matter of what different churches choose or not choose to do when they gather. I remember back about 20 years ago in Taiwan, the only church that I was aware of which incorporated active praise and worship in their services was Zion Church. And because of their deliberateness of praising God in the worship services, many other churches considered them to be some kind of a cult group. For me, I was also not used to their worship services when I first went there. Even though I was a Christian for 6 years already, I had never been in a church service where people were so openly and loudly giving praises to God. This, to the natural man, is not something that is comfortable. However, during the 1990s, there was a Korean pastor by the name of Ho Young Ren who had a deep conviction to lead as many people as possible to praise and worship God. I personally have visited that church of about 2,000 people, of whom many were youths. The youths would regularly rush from their study sessions on bicycles so that they could go to church to praise and worship God together. Not only were the youths praising God in the church, the pastor also brought them into the city streets where they would walk and praise God openly in public, experience the coming down of the glory of God. This was an approach that this pastor took with the youths to replace the previous ways of evangelizing to the public. In the past, we tend to evangelize by inviting people into the meetings held at the local churches. But with this pastor, he took the church into the streets, praising and worshiping God in the public, bringing the glory of God to invade the streets. As a result, there were gangsters and leaders of gangs who met Jesus through their ministry. And these kinds of conversions, from gang member to follower of Christ, are usually conversions that are radical, making them very serious and determined followers of Jesus. One time, this pastor took some of their youths to minister at my home church. Some of them were ex-gang leaders. Praise the Lord for His mighty work. As we sincerely and wholeheartedly give ourselves to praising and worshiping God, His glory will greatly manifest. This is because, as was mentioned in the previous session, God uses the praises of His people to establish His throne. If we desire that our workplace and our homes are filled with the glory of God, then we need to bring our personal praise and worship into those environments. For example, in the workplace, you can plan to deliberately arrive at work earlier than your scheduled work hour in order to soak that place with praise and worship. Even if it is not convenient to be loud, you can still worship God in a quiet voice. Grasp every moment you have, whether it is getting a drink of water or walking to and from the restroom. You can soak your work environment with your praise to God so that His glory can take hold of your office or even your household. If you notice that somehow there has been a lot of conflicts and tension within the home, it can very easily be the work of the enemy causing disturbance. Or perhaps there is the rampancy of people falling into illness at home. These are all the potential work of the enemy which can be overcome by taking more deliberate action to praise and worship God at home. In fact, lead the entire family to praise God at home. Let's now look at 1 Chronicles 23:5. And 4,000 were gatekeepers, and 4,000 were praising the Lord with the instruments which David made for giving praise. Let's also look further on to verse 30. And they are to stand every morning to thank and to praise the Lord, and likewise at evening. God gave David a very important revelation in showing him the importance and power to praise God here on earth. And because of that revelation from God, He established in His reign 4,000 Levite worshipers whose only responsibility is to worship God 24 hours a day. This platoon of singers did nothing else but to praise and worship God on a continual basis. Let's look now at 1 Chronicles 25:3. Of Jeduthun, the sons of Jeduthun, Gedaliah, Zeri, Jeshaiah, Shimei, Hashabiah, and Mathathiah, 6, under the direction of their father Jeduthun with the harp, who prophesied in giving thanks and praising the Lord. And continuing on to verse 7, and their number who were trained in singing to the Lord with their relatives, all who were skillful, was 288. We find here the principle that there is a learning process in knowing how to praise God. A person typically does not know how to praise God, especially giving praise and worship to a God whom one cannot see. We may try to praise, but will probably run out of words very quickly. Even in terms of giving words to praise people, we usually find we have very little to say. I can think of a workshop that was given to married couples where an assignment was given to the couples to practice giving words of praise to each other. The instructor of that workshop was a marriage and family counselor. However, in giving the workshop, he admitted to the fact that he personally has a hard time speaking words of praise to his wife for more than 2 or 3 minutes. This really proves the point that the act of praising is something that needs to be learned through practice. The more you practice giving praise, the more words you will have to praise. The more you practice giving praise, the more you will discover things that are admirable in the person you are giving praise to. This is not only true for your relationship with man, but it is also true as you approach God in worship. The more we take action to praise God, the more our heart and our spirit open up to Him. And when our heart and spirit begin to open up to Him, we begin to experience His glory. And when we experience His glory, it produces more praise within us to give back to God. So again, praise must be learned and practiced. The more you take action to praise God, the more ability and words you will have to praise Him. Let's now look at Psalm 22:25. From Thee comes my praise in the great assembly. I shall pay my vows before those who fear Him. The main theme of Psalm 22 is David's prayer before God as he encounters great difficulty. So here in verse 25, David professes that the praise that he has on his lips comes from God Himself. He also says that he will repay his vows back to God in the midst of those who fear Him. Now, what might that vow be? That vow is actually David's commitment to give God praise in all situations. So he pays that vow back to God, and not only that, but he pays it back in the midst of the assembly of people who fear God. It's interesting to note that David says his praise originates from God. Now, praise begins with a willingness within you to praise God. And as that willingness is birthed into action, and you approach God with that willingness, God Himself begins to deposit within you the very words to praise Him with. He will give you the words to praise as He opens up the heavens to you, pouring down upon you words of praise to worship Him with. But if you refuse to begin to even speak out one word or praise of worship, you will never receive more from God to praise Him with. You cannot just sit there and say, "Well, I'll wait until God gives me a lot of words to praise Him first before I actually begin." Nor can you be unwilling, as some might say, "Well, I only have one phrase." If you actually have only one phrase, then that is the phrase that God has given you to get started with. If you proceed to worship with that one phrase in obedience, you will discover that God will then give you the second and third phrases. On a side note, the gift of tongues and the interpretations of tongues tend to operate in this same principle. Sometimes God would give a person the entire interpretation to a message that was just spoken in tongues. Other times, God will only give the first sentence of interpretation. But as the person begins to speak that first sentence of interpretation, he/she would be given the rest of the interpretation. So as God gives you only one phrase to praise Him with, just begin to praise Him in obedience with that phrase. What we have just looked at are principles gained from the worship of the Old Testament. Let's now move on to examine New Testament worship. Let's first look at Acts chapter 2, verse 46 to 47. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. In the original Greek, it is expressed with the idea that they were praising God every day. They were day by day with unified gladness and sincerity, worshiping and praising God in the temple as well as from house to house. This was done on a day by day basis. This is how it looked like in the beginning of the New Testament church. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 24. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is Thou who didst make the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. So you can see here that whenever the New Testament believers encountered any difficulty, they would gather and cry out to the Lord together. With unity of heart, they would audibly and declare loudly their praises and requests to God. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 16, verse 25. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Paul and Silas lived a life of constant praise. That was such a part of their spiritual habit that even when they were locked up in prison, they were praising God. The Bible says that they were singing hymns of praise to God. Now, in the original Greek, there's the understanding that the praising was a deliberate and audible type of praising, just like how in our services we would invite the congregation to sing out audibly and expressively to God. And because of their willingness to sing out praises to God while in prison, during the middle of the night, a great power came from heaven. It says further on in the passage that suddenly there came a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. Now I believe that during that hour while in prison, there was within Paul and Silas a spirit of praise stirring and wanting to break out of their mouths. So in obedience, they submitted to that stirring and began to praise God in songs. Actually, it was God who was doing this because he was about to do something powerful in their midst. And through their obedience, God manifested himself as they opened their mouths and praised him in songs. Now, the circumstances didn't look very positive at all with them being prisoners. Not only just prisoners, but newly admitted prisoners who had to potentially deal with having to face the veteran prisoners for their breaking forth in loud singing during a time where people ought to be sleeping. There was the possibility of being beaten up by the others for disturbing their sleep. Not only that, being Christians, if the other prisoners got physical with them, they were not to fight back, but rather to offer the other cheek. However, I believe there was such a bubbling up of the spirit of joy within them that they had to submit and enter into praising God. This kind of submission to the leading of the Spirit is not an easy one. But as they sang praises to God, God broke open the prison doors, and as a result, it brought the prison guard and his entire family into salvation. So you see, we must learn to obey God, even in the dark hours of the night, in times where it is inconvenient, when you are being beaten and persecuted, in times of hardship and pain. You must obey God and take opportunity to praise him with your mouth. And if you do so, the prisons of your situation will be shaken. Unless you have learned to praise God in the most difficult circumstances, you really have not understood what it means to praise God. Praising God with our mouths is not only something that we do during church services. We praise God in church to experience his presence so that we can be convinced to bring what we do there into our homes as well as into the tough times in life. Remember the testimony that was given in the beginning? A situation where Sister Li Hui ran into a Mercedes-Benz? It doesn't even have to be a Benz. If any of us accidentally hit a car, it would make us feel terrible inwardly, right? Accidents are not fun at all. Even if it's just a scrape, it bothers us. We can easily be overcome by an upsetting spirit in these situations. Worry and anxiety will also tend to grip us. But you must learn that these are times that you actually need to practice praising God, because in doing so, your prison doors will be shaken open. Brothers and sisters, will you be willing in the darkest situations in life, while it seems that a jailer is keeping you in prison, whether it be difficulty at home or difficulty in the workplace, Perhaps being stuck in not being able to complete a project at work. Perhaps undue pressure given to you by your boss. Perhaps problems with your children, as if your heart is being forced into prison. Would you be willing to loudly and continually praise God during these times? So that in doing so, God can come and begin to shake the foundations of your prison and set you free? So that God can have you experience His saving grace and power manifested in your life? Now let's look at Ephesians 5:19, where it teaches us how to worship God as a New Testament church. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Paul here is teaching the Ephesians church as to what they should be doing when they gather in worship. The instructions then being that they ought to speak to each other with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, as well as singing and making melody with their hearts to the Lord. Let's look at Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Here it also tells us to sing to God with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Through singing these songs to God, it produces the effect of the mutual admonishing of one another. It produces a building up of one another. So we have looked at Old Testament worship as well as New Testament worship. Now, let's move on to examine what heavenly worship is like. Let's look at Revelations chapter 4, verses 8 to 11. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. And day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come." And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy art Thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou didst create all things, and because of Thy will they existed and were created." In verse 8 it says that the four living creatures before the throne of God never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God the Almighty, who was and who is to come." This is worship. As you read the book of Revelations, you will discover that heaven is full of worship. We don't need to evangelize in heaven because all in heaven know Jesus is Lord. There's no need for evangelistic meetings or evangelism. Nor is there any need in heaven for the prophetic or healing ministries. There's no need for any of that, for all spiritual gifts that are operating now are not needed anymore in heaven. But there is a ministry that takes place here on earth that will continue on in heaven. That ministry is the worship of God. In the future, we will be worshiping God before His presence forevermore. So in a way, our worship now on earth is really a training of what we are to do in heaven. We often say that ministry requires learning, development, and practice. So here on earth, we can take advantage of this opportunity to learn, develop, and put into constant practice our ministry of worship to God. Then it will be very natural for us to continue worshiping God in His presence. Notice that the four living creatures in heaven continue to praise God unceasingly. As they worship, the 24 elders also fall down before the throne of God, casting down their crowns before Him in worship. And these elders themselves also say, "Worthy art Thou, our Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power." This is the model of how we should worship God here on earth today. In our meetings, as we worship, we can declare these very words in worship to God. Better yet, my hope is that all of you brothers and sisters in Christ would memorize these verses so that you can store up a rich vocabulary of praise to give to God. You can enter into the worship of God by saying, "O Lord, You truly are worthy of our praise. You are indeed worthy of all glory, honor, and power." You can develop a vocabulary of praise. And if you don't know where to start, you can commit to memory what the 24 elders themselves have declared. Furthermore, as you sincerely declare these words of praise to God, you will experience the flowing out of more words to praise God with. Let's now look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. And I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was myriads and of myriads, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever." I pray that all the brothers and sisters in the Lord would seriously commit these passages into memory so that they could regularly use them to praise God. Do take special note of the fact that all created beings were praising God. Charles Finney was a great evangelist who brought revival to the places that he ministered in. He himself was at first a lawyer. He admitted that he knew the necessity of praising God audibly with his mouth. However, he just felt really embarrassed and awkward to do so. I want to add here that in general, those with higher education tend to be more inclined to want to protect their dignity. So one time, Finney went into the forest to pray. And as he was praying, God showed him a vision. In the vision, God showed him a picture of all creation praising God. This included the crashing sounds of the waterfalls, the rushing sounds of the rivers, the chirping of the birds, the flowers, etc. Everything that was created by God was praising God. But the only part that didn't know how to worship him was humanity, who had been created in the image of God himself. So God revealed to Finney how much his heart was broken because of that. The moment Finney saw that, he opened up his mouth and praised God at the top of his lungs. That was also the day where he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the rest of his life was then used by God to bring revivals to many places. The entire creation, as written in Revelations, is worshiping God. Brothers and sisters, we have robbed God of his due worship. We have not given the glory and honor that is due to him. Let's now look at Revelation chapter 7, verse 11 to 12. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen! Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen!" In my initial 6 years as a Christian, I looked at verses like this in Revelations as quite boring. I felt quite out of touch with that reality. I saw heaven as being quite pointless with the 24 elders falling before the throne of God and declaring all that praise. It looked like this is all that they do. It made me see heaven as a very pointless, boring place to be. So in reading Revelations, I glossed over these passages and considered them to be non-applicable to me. But after I was filled with the Holy Spirit, the presence of God and his glory brought tremendous revelation to my spirit. I began to enjoy encountering his presence and glory during the worship services. I realized how glorious God's presence actually is, and out of me came forth unending praise and worship towards him. So the point is that these passages in Revelations are things that one needs to personally experience. When you experience it, you will understand the significance of it. Then your reading of those passages will take on much more meaning and flavor. In my case, after my encounter of God's glory, I began to agree with amens as I read those passages of praise in Revelations. Every word, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might. These words will take on great significance as you read them, because after you personally encounter his glory, you will fully agree that he is indeed glorious, wise, honorable, powerful, and mighty, and full of authority. These words will be more than just adjectives to you. It will be words that touch your heart deeply as you declare them to God in praise. Brothers and sisters, there is a definite need for you to learn how to praise God and worship. Even if you have not experienced the filling of the Holy Spirit, as long as you are willing to open wide your heart to Him in worship, you will encounter His glory. Let's now look at Revelations chapter 19, verses 1 to 6. After these things, I heard, as it were, a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because His judgments are true and righteous. For He has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and He has avenged the blood of His bondservants on her. And a second time they said, Hallelujah! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sits on the throne, saying, Amen! Hallelujah! And a voice came from the throne, saying, Give praise to our God, all you His bondservants, you who fear Him, the small and the great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. The word Hallelujah is an expression of praise to the Lord. This word is universally understood in many parts of the world. If you say Hallelujah in foreign countries, the local Christians there will also respond the same because they understand what you are saying. This is a heavenly language that is understood by all believers. The book of Revelations can be considered as God pulling aside the veil that covers heaven so that the aged Apostle John might be able to catch a glimpse of it. Therefore, brothers and sisters, when we read the book of Revelations, we must open wide our spiritual eyes so that we can also catch a good glimpse of what is going on in heaven. In heaven, the glory of God is present as well as His throne. His throne is the center attraction of heaven. That is why in heaven, the predominant activity is worshiping God. If someone were to travel to England to visit the royal palace and see the royal throne, one of the activities that must take place is the paying of respect and honor. This is typically done by taking a knee before the throne. In even grander respects, the activity that takes place predominantly before the heavenly throne is worship. Worship is a natural act in response to the reverence and adoration of God. Worship is also a natural expression of the gratefulness that people have toward His saving grace. Verse 5 says, And a voice came from the throne, saying, Give praise to our God, and you His bondservants, you who fear Him, the small and the great. After this, the Apostle John then heard the sound of many waters as the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns! Looking at this, if you are one who is lost as to what to say to praise God, you can begin by repeating the word Hallelujah. This is a great word of praise to use when you approach God in worship. As you praise God with the word Hallelujah repeatedly, your spirit will begin to be lifted up. Once your spirit is lifted to the place where it connects with the presence of God, more words of praise will be birthed from within you. There was a sister in Taiwan whose mother had suffered a fall at the age of 50. As she slipped and fell, she broke a bone in her wrist area. She was rushed to the hospital for emergency surgical procedures. Being that she had a weak heart, along with the anesthetics being too high of a dosage, her heart froze and stopped functioning. She shared that because of her heart failure, her spirit left her physical body and she began to float upwards toward heaven. There, she saw a beautiful city. This lady, a wife of an attorney, had a personal hobby of collecting precious jewels. Her favorite is jade, and she has quite a collection of them. She shared that when she observed the walls of the heavenly city, she saw that the walls were like precious jade. When she was looking at the beautiful city, she said to herself out loud, Wow! What is this place? Then an angel behind her responded, This is heaven! She was ecstatic at the fact of arriving at heaven, and she desired to enter. However, the angel said to her, You must first praise. And being that she had never been taught how to praise, she quickly began to say, Praise, 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 repeatedly before the angel. She was very literal in her response. But in the midst of doing that, her ears were suddenly turned to the praise that the multitude in heaven was giving to God. The sounds of their praises were like the beautiful high voices of young teenagers. She said that the voices sounded beautiful as they were in continual praise of God. It attracted her so much that she wanted to quickly go through the entrance of heaven. In that moment, the angel behind her grabbed her and flung her downward. She then began to descend and descend until she saw her physical body lying on the hospital bed. Finally, her spirit re-entered her body. She realized that her physical body is like a cocoon that hinders movement. When she was in heaven, in her spirit, she floated around freely. The moment she re-entered her physical body, she felt restricted and weighed down. The nurse was slapping her on the cheeks because she was not coming back to consciousness after her operation. Even though the nurse was slapping her and causing a lot of pain, she was reluctant to open her eyes, for she wanted to retain the memory of the glory of heaven. At the same time, her mouth kept on singing the song that she heard in heaven. Finally, she heard with her ears the nurse telling the doctor, "She's awake! She's awake! She is singing the songs of the Christians!" This lady had this experience when she was 50 years old. She lived another 20-plus years before God finally took her home at over 70 years old. In the 20-plus years following her experience of heaven, her daughter testifies that she lived as a changed woman. In our church at that time, we held Waiting on God services once a quarter, where we would have meetings morning, afternoon, and evening for 5 days. This lady, even though she was in her 60s, came consistently with great fervency for the Lord. In the 20-plus years following her encounter of heaven, she lived every day in preparation for the glorious heaven that she had caught a glimpse of. Heaven has placed a deep impression in her. So for the last 20-plus years of life, there was no desire for precious gems because heaven had become more important in her heart. Her daily life became a preparation to live the heavenly life in the future. She would pursue personal sanctification through confession of sins and repentance from them. All losses could be suffered for the sake of pleasing God. Then, in her 70s, the Lord received her into his presence. I still remember when she came to visit us in Hsinchu, Taiwan. One fine weather day during her visit, she pointed to the sky and told me, "Do you see the beautiful blue sky? Heaven is even more beautiful than that." She was describing to me how glorious heaven is. Now, we really don't have to wait until we encounter a visit to heaven before we live life with a proper perspective. The Bible already tells us pretty clearly what heaven is like and what kind of people will enjoy life in heaven. But the sad thing is, there are many who will not be able to enjoy heaven because they just do not enjoy praising God nor have much interest in Jesus. Rather, they find more interest in church activities like picnics, potlucks, and outings. But when it comes to Jesus himself, the interest is very little. Once a week attendance at church is about all they will do. The rest of the time, they live out their own lives. However, God, through the book of Revelations, describes to us what heavenly life is like. That is why we are also highly interested in Jesus here on earth. Jesus to us is precious, highly adored, and worthy of our love and worship. A Christian who lives with this perspective will enter into heaven and say to Jesus, "Oh Jesus, I'm so glad I'm finally here. I've been thinking about you for so long. I can finally be with you forever and ever." Why? Because being in heaven with Jesus is the greatest desire and longing of that Christian. It shows in Psalms chapter 149, verse 1, that while on earth and gathered as a congregation of God's people, we can begin to experience the taste of heavenly life. We ought to gather together to worship him and offer to him our love and adoration. In this way, we can regularly experience the taste of heavenly life in our services, a foretasting of what is taking place in heaven. It also says here to sing to the Lord a new song. So what does it mean to sing a new song? Let's turn to Psalm chapter 40, verse 3 to find out. "And he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord." David says here that God has put a new song in his mouth that is a song of praise to God. There's another passage in Revelations that says that only the 144,000 redeemed of the Lord will be able to sing a new song. The rest of the people can't. So singing a new song represents the words of praise we give to God. Furthermore, a new song is something that the Holy Spirit deposits within us to sing out to God. It could come as lyrics of praise or spontaneous spiritual songs. A new song has to do with what is birthed in the Holy Spirit. Spontaneous songs are those which we are not familiar with because it is given at that moment by the Holy Spirit. And it says here that as the people of God sing a new song to the Lord, it causes others who see to fear and thus birth a desire to trust in the Lord. So what it means is that as we gather to sing praises to God, His glory will manifest in the place, causing people to fear and trust in the Lord. Let's now look at Revelation chapter 14, verse 3. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. The new song that is described here cannot be learned by just anyone. Why? Because it is given by the Holy Spirit. I remember a lady who had attended one of our conferences asking me, "Pastor Grace, the songs that everybody was singing during the service, where can I find a music sheet? Can you teach me how to sing them?" I responded by saying that there was no music sheet to any of the songs. She was quite surprised and said, "How then can you sing it if you didn't have a music sheet to learn it from?" That was really cute of her. She didn't know that the songs that were sung were new songs born of the Holy Spirit. She thought that the songs were so beautiful and she longed to learn them. The good news is, she now has learned how to sing her own new songs. And the fact is that nobody had to teach her how to sing a new song. Rather, she was willing to practice drawing near to God, and from that, new songs were given to her from the Holy Spirit. Let's now look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy art thou to take the book, and to break its seals, for thou wast slain, and didst purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation." It is interesting that God often gives spiritual songs to people who are rather tone deaf. He likes to choose those who are weak and incapable to display His awesome power. There is a sister in our midst that does not sing well and suffers from being tone deaf. However, God kept stirring in her to sing out a new song to Him. She was really concerned that if she started, she would only last a couple of lines and get stuck. But realizing that obedience was far more important, she moved out in faith, and God began to deposit within her the gift of singing spiritual songs. She now sings the most beautiful spiritual songs. So in our private times of worship, if we are willing to move into praising God with spiritual songs, He will bring increase to that area of your worship life. Coming back again to Psalm 149, and after having looked at other passages, we can see that God's call for us to praise and worship Him goes beyond the issue of a particular church's style or preference. Rather, it is biblically clear from the Old and New Testaments that this form of praise and worship is God's approved way of engaging with Him during our services. We can see from the Bible that heaven is constantly full of extravagant praise to the Almighty God. It is definitely not an issue of a church's style or preference. It is the approach that God takes delight in. In today's church, you will find that many churches' services center around a timeline. For example, from this time, there will be singing of hymns. After that, the presider might lead the congregation in a prayer. After that, the choir would present their song offering. And after that, there will be the collecting of tithes and offering. And after that, announcements are made. After that, the speaker gets up and delivers a sermon. And after that, a closing hymn. And after that, the pastor gives a benediction and the service ends. Taking a critical look at our church services today, there is a sense of lack for the believers, even if the message is a good one. Why? Because the seeds of praise and worship that God has deposited into hearts of the believers are not given opportunity to be expressed during the service times. these are the seeds of praise and worship that God has put within the believers to enable them to approach and encounter God through the act of expressive praise and worship. It enables the believer to touch God and experience the joy that is found in fellowshipping with Him. Only when this happens can a believer truly be satisfied within. In fact, if a body of believers knows how to engage God with praise and worship, even if the message is mediocre, there is already amongst the congregation the delight and satisfaction of the presence of God. A Chinese person can attend a German-speaking service or an English-speaking service, even though there might be a language barrier, but because there is the engagement of God through praise and worship, that Chinese person will find spiritual fulfillment in those services. This is God's ordained way of coming before His presence as a congregation. In one of our services, there was a prophetic word given to the congregation. God said, "The prayers that are born out of praise are the prayers that He delights in the most. The prayers I truly take delight in are the prayers that are rooted in praise, thanksgiving, gratitude, and joy. However, my people don't seem to get this point. My people are very inept in giving these kinds of prayers. And because you have ignored this truth, you have been forfeiting the great blessings that come with it." This was what God said to us during our service that day. I pray that we as a church would no longer continue to be inept in the skill of giving praise to God in our lives. I hope that we as a church can quickly learn how to give praise. Let's learn to come before Him with thanksgiving, gratitude, praise, and joyously offering to Him our prayers. This is the prayer approach that God said He delights in the most. Looking again at Psalm chapter 149, verse 1, it shows us that indeed God has called His people to give Him praise in the congregation. If you happen to be a Christian that rarely gives Him praise audibly with your voice, I exhort you to start doing so. Don't just let the few others in the congregation give God praise with their voices. The angels are watching over us when we meet, taking note at those who just refuse to open up their voices to God. Why keep procrastinating until you get to heaven before you learn to give praise? Wouldn't it be better to be entering into heaven already skilled in giving praises to God in the midst of His people? We ought to, in our services, let God hear the praise from each and every one. Each one can just say short, simple phrases of praise that are birthed from a thankful and worshipful heart. In heaven, we are told in God's Word that all of the created things are giving praise to God. However, here on earth, that is often not the case amongst God's people. Let's not contribute to let this take place in our gatherings. Let's instead praise God together with our voices in one combined cry, as well as through individual turns. Looking on to Psalms chapter 140, verse 2, "Let Israel be glad in his Maker. Let the sons of Zion rejoice in their King." This verse describes to us the attitude of the heart in giving praise to God. Praise is birthed from the joyful recognition of our Creator God, as well as God as our King. This is based on the recognition of a fact rather than our changing emotions. It is because God, by means of who He is worthy of our praising recognition. If you want more understanding of this, you can check into an author by the name of Merlin Carruthers, who has written books on praise. Some titles are From Prison to Praise and Power of Praise. Merlin was once in a small prayer group where he was laughing a lot due to being filled with the spirit of joy. While in the midst of laughter, God's voice within asked, "Are you joyful because of the fact that the Heavenly Father's Son died for you?" Merlin responded by saying, "Yes, yes, I am." Then God asked again, "Are you joyful because my Son was crucified on the cross on your behalf?" Merlin responded again by saying, "Yes, yes, I am." And again, the Father asked, "Are you joyful because of the saving grace that is available to you through my sons?" Merlin responded again by saying, "Yes, yes, I am very joyful for that." And again, the Father asked, "Are you joyful because of the fact that the nails pierced through my son's hands on your behalf?" Merlin responded, "Yes, yes, I am joyful." And again, the Father asked, "Are you joyful because of the fact that the nails pierced through my son's feet on your behalf?" Merlin responded again, "Yes, yes, I'm very joyful for that." But at this point, Merlin began to ponder his heart, whether he had been answering these questions correctly. Then the father finally said, "Yes, you have answered right." Merlin sensed a relief inside that he had indeed answered correctly. Then the father continued by saying, "I want you to constantly rejoice over the fact that my son died on your behalf. Because he died for you, you now have saving grace. And because of that, I want you to constantly rejoice over the fact that my son died on your behalf." Even more, the father said, "From this day on, no matter what circumstances you face, you ought to rejoice as you are doing right now, because no matter what circumstance you will face in life, it will never compare with the hardship that my son encountered by going to the cross. Therefore, I want you to continually rejoice." Merlin responded by saying, "Yes, Lord, I will continue to rejoice daily as you have told me to." After having responded that way, he immediately realized that what he had agreed to was not an easy thing. To be able to rejoice every day will be quite a challenge. However, he did submit to what he had agreed to do before God, so he purposed to rejoice in all circumstances. He reminded himself in all situations that whatever he was going through does not compare to the sufferings of Christ on the cross. Therefore, he chose to rejoice because of the fact that Jesus has won that privilege of rejoicing through the cross. And because of his practice of rejoicing in Christ through life, he was able to author the two books on praise, From Prison to Praise and The Power of Praise. He experienced and wrote of the power of praise because he did submit and practice praise in all situations. He rejoiced over all situations because of the Son of God, because of the saving grace that the Son of God won on his behalf. This life of praise gained for him tremendous blessings in life. And whenever people come to seek help from him, he would invite them to give God praise and thanksgiving with him. That led many people to encountering the blessings of God. Brothers and sisters, you actually don't need to listen to a lot of sermons. If you would just go from here with a determination to praise and thank God in all situations, I believe you will experience tremendous breakthroughs in your life. You will be delivered from the bondage and darkness that have been plaguing you. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, it says, "Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name." It says here that through Christ, we can continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. What does it mean to offer up a sacrifice of praise? Let us look at Psalm chapter 116, verses 12 and 13. "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." Jesus Christ died for us on the cross, making available to us the great grace of salvation. How then can we respond to such a gift? Well, we respond by raising up the cup of salvation as we praise and give thanks for the saving grace. In doing so, we are doing the spiritual act of drinking the cup of salvation. Praise, in fact, is a direct connect with the throne of grace. We often go through the motion of making pleas before God as we face situations in life. But the quickest way of access into the throne of grace is through praise and thanksgiving. You give God praise and thanksgiving for the situation at hand. You raise up the cup of salvation and you deeply drink from it. Now, what is said in verse 12 and 13 is the same idea as in Psalm 149:2, which tells us to be glad in our Maker and to rejoice in our King. God has already given us the greatest sacrifice through his Son on the cross. He now asks us to offer up ourselves as a living sacrifice in response to him. Living sacrifice means that often when we give him praise, we might not be truly joyful in our heart. Perhaps we have just been reprimanded by our boss and we just don't feel a lot of joy inside. Perhaps our day has not gone well and we feel terrible inside. However, because we want to be a living sacrifice, we give him praise and thanksgiving anyway, feeling like we are being slaughtered as we do so. God's Son has already become a sacrifice on our behalf. Thus, God wants us to daily be a living sacrifice for Him. Without regard to feelings, without regard to our changing moods, we rejoice because of Him and we give Him praises. This, to the individual, is like being killed as a sacrifice without regard to feelings and emotions. Praise, then, is more than just during service times. If we are to be a living sacrifice, we ought to live our daily lives as an act of worship and praise to God, meaning that whatever we do throughout the day, it ought to be a deliberate expression of our worship and praise to God. We do all things with joy because of Him. We do all things in worship to Him. Everything we do in our day becomes an offering of worship to Him. Everything we do in our day seeks to bring Him delight. That is what it means to be a living sacrifice of offering. Again, remember that the Son of God has already given Himself up as a sacrifice for us. Would you be willing to become a living sacrifice to God today? This is not just in church services, but more so in your daily lives. You live daily in rejoicing because of Him and to give extravagant praises to Him, especially when the dark clouds of life are over you, drawing you into sorrow. Would you instead rejoice because of Him? Would you continually praise Him instead, to offer to Him a living sacrifice? If you do so, you will experience the glory clouds of God filling you and your environment. Let's end with this testimony. There was a brother attending university who had simultaneously lost his watch and bike. As a student, these two things happen to be very important possessions. So after his loss, whether he is walking or doing other things, there was a constant sulking voice within pestering him, telling him he should not have parked his bike in that place. He should not have left his watch in that place. Negativity was trying to overtake him on the inside because of his loss, trying to make him worry over how he was going to tell his mom the bad news. Now, he happened to be one that is teachable in the Spirit. He had learned about the truth of praising God in all situations, so he fought against it by constantly giving praise audibly to God. It didn't matter if he was walking through the school campus, walking to church, or inside the lab, he constantly gave audible praise to God. He would say, "Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! I give you praise for the situation with the bike and the watch. I thank you and I praise you." This was his approach to the entire situation, to continue to give God praise and thanksgiving. In the midst of the devil's attempt to push darkness into him, he stood against it in constant praise and thanksgiving to God. It became a time in his life where praise and thanksgiving to God were most extravagant. He also realized at one point that while walking through the school campus, the environment around him became filled with the glory and presence of God. Brothers and sisters, through praise and keeping a joyful heart, the worst situations in life can be turned into the greatest blessings that you encounter. It does not matter what it is that took place. We find in the New Testament that God has given us as Christians a very important command. That command is, "In everything, give thanks." In all things, we give thanks and praise to God. If you abide by that, you will realize that every unfortunate thing that happens to you will become instead a blessing. But to whom would this promise be fulfilled? To those who love God. Do you love God over a watch? Do you love God over a bike? Do you love God over your desire to come out successful in your circumstances? Do you love God over your feelings and emotions? Because if you are willing to love God over and above your circumstances, then these situations will bear the fruit of refining you into the image of Jesus Christ, as well as deepen His presence within you.
This concludes part 2 of the 4-part teaching series titled Praise. We highly encourage you to continue on through the rest of the series. May God continue to impart to you the conviction and empowerment to live as a person of praise.